Well, you would have heard over the weekend the news that Australia's worst serial killer, Ivan Milat, died in jail. And, well, whilst most people would say good riddance, I don't know that there's a lot of closure for the victims and the families of the victims, because he went to the grave with a lot of secrets. Now, the man that was charged with catching Ivan Milat as the head of Task Force Air is former detective and former assistant commissioner in the New South Wales Police, Clive Small, and joins us now. Clive, good to have you on the program.
Yeah, good to be talk to you, Steve.
Clive, as I mentioned, I imagine mixed emotions for you because he did go to the grave with so many secrets and so many answers left unanswered.
Well, it's frustrating, but I've always expected that Ivan would never disclose any information and that he'd go to the grave with the secrets. And that he would do this because he believed it left him in charge.
Was there a pretense that it was he? I guess everybody that wants to challenge the evidence that goes is charged with a crime wants to challenge their evidence. Was there a did he maintain an air of innocence the whole time, or was there always that belief that he knew he was guilty?
No, I think it was a case of he had a very strong belief that as long as he was committing, this is my assessment, that as long as he was committing crimes by himself, he would never be given up. That is, he'd never give himself up. And that was one of the reasons he committed the crimes by himself. He couldn't trust partners in crime. So it wasn't a case of whether he thought I'd believed him guilty or not. It was a case of he thought, you can't prove the case unless I admit to it, and yep. I'm not going to admit to it.
Given that, is it unusual that somebody, and when I say somebody like a Milat, given that he was the worst serial killer we've ever seen, I don't imagine there's too many like him, but is it unusual that they would go to the grave even knowing that they were dying without giving up some of those secrets?
It's very difficult to say. This doesn't happen that often, but it does happen from time to time. At the same time, I don't know of too many cases where people have basically said, I'm dying, I want to clear my conscience, I want to make life better for the victims or the families of the victims of the crimes of the criminals that I have killed or injured.
Well, I suppose it flies in the face of the kind of person that would commit these crimes in any way.
That's right. I think it's very much a case of Ivan committed the crimes for a reason that he alone knew, that one of the reasons for it was he felt that it put him in a position of power and that he would not be given up because he was the only one that knew the answers.
How does an investigation like the one that finally caught Ivan Milat start?
The Milat investigation started when a number of backpackers, mostly from overseas, were reported missing in New South Wales. That was seven people. And that caused the investigation to begin. But these backpackers went missing over about a three-year period from 1989. It then became a real inquiry about 2 years after the first reports, when the bodies of two of the victims were found in Malanglo Forest. And that's when the investigation started.
Do you automatically, as a detective, look for when seven people go missing over a three-year period? Is there something in the back of your mind that already says these might be connected, or were there dots that sort of fell into place later down the track?
No, the fact of the matter is that there's much larger numbers of people go missing in all states in Australia every year, and generally speaking, the frequency of the disappearance and circumstances of the disappearances are not sufficient to immediately join any dots. There are some exceptions to this, but in the Milat case, at first there was nothing to connect the dots. And the fact is that the backpackers who were travelling around Australia really didn't leave a record of where they were travelling to or where they were staying. So finding people was a bit of a challenge from at the outset.
Is it fair to say that the breakthrough came when one of these backpackers actually got away from him?
The main breakthrough to the investigation came after Paul Onions, who was a abducted or who was given a lift by Ivan Milat in 1990, and then as they travelled down south, things became a bit uncomfortable. Paul Onions asked if he could park, if we could stop the car, as he wanted to get out for a moment. And Paul Onions got out, then made a break for it, and was pursued by Ivan, who was trying to kill him. That was the first one, and that was what happened was that Ivan, Paul Onions was running up the road in a zigzag fashion, pursued by Ivan, and a car coming from the Canberra area basically saw what was happening, pulled up, offered Paul Onions the lift, the escape, and took him then to the police station where the matter was reported. So that's how, that was a breakthrough that came, but it didn't emerge for a while after that.
So how long after that was Ivan Milat arrested?
Well, the investigation into Ivan Milat really began in 1993 when the bodies were first found, or the first of the bodies were found, in the Belangolo forest. But that was an investigation into the murder. No, there was no suspect. This, as the forest was searched over the next 3 to 4 months, the other bodies were found, and the pressure on the who was the murderer increased. Publicity resulted in numerous calls from the public nominating suspects and people that might have been considered offenders, including Ivan. Having said that, there was nothing of a strong character that suggested Ivan was the murderer. It was rather the fact that he and a number of his brothers had a bit of a reputation for a few criminal offences.
So is it like a light bulb moment that goes off in one of the investigators' heads and says, hang on, these two things that might seem completely remote are linked, or is there a natural collation of the kind of information that is gathered over years across different investigations?
No, in the backpacker investigation, for example, there were literally hundreds of people named as suspects. All of their police records and everything else that was known about them was gathered and analysed, and it was that activity, which took quite some time, but also eliminated quite a lot of the suspects and also focused in on a few of the other suspects, including Milat.
It must have taken an extraordinary amount of manpower to do this.
Oh, it did. We had about 300 police were transferred down to the Belangolo area for a period of over 3 months to carry out the search. And it took over that time to carry out the search of the Belangolo forest. But what that did, it resulted in all of the bodies, or the 7 bodies of the backpackers being found, and a lot of the, and some of their property being recovered, and also some evidence of the crimes. For example, the bullets, fired bullets that had been used in the murders, and some other evidence was also gathered. And that allowed the investigation to move forward from there.
Clive, you've had a fairly storied career over in your time in the New South Wales Police, investigating crime gangs, drug squads. Was this the standout in your career?
Oh, this was certainly the major one, and the one that had the most pressure in terms of seeking an answer, because it involved the general citizens of Australia, not criminals.
What sort of sense of relief do you get when you finally come to a conclusion?
Well, there were several stages during the investigation where we thought we were making some progress. And each of those stages, whilst you didn't want to make a 100% finding or satisfying yourself 100% that was the way to go, where evidence was produced that gave some confidence that progress was being made, each occasion became a very satisfying finding within your body.
How many other crimes, unsolved crimes, do you think are linked to Ivan Milat?
In terms of the murders, there are three other unsolved murders where I would be highly suspicious of Ivan Milat being the offender. In one of those cases, in the case of a young fellow named Letcher, Peter Letcher, he was shot and murdered and found in the forest up near Jenolan Caves. The gun that was used to shoot him was the same gun or firearm that was used in the backpacker, in a number of the backpacker murder cases. So I've got no doubt that Ivan was responsible for that matter. There are two other matters where girls were killed in ways that had similarities to the backpackers, and I would suspect Ivan in those cases as well.
Well, Clive, I know a lot of people are glad you finally got your man, and as I said, there wouldn't be too many people shedding a tear at Ivan Milat's passing over the weekend. I really appreciate your time this evening.
That's fine. I hope it gives the community some form of information and relief.
That's Clive Small. He was the head of Task Force Air, the operation that brought down Ivan Milat. 1327 10's the number.